Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Odette Lockwood Stewart, pastor of Epworth United Methodist Church, spoke on December 11, 2005. Her sermon was titled, Aslan is on the Move. Baptizing the imagination leads us to long for and look for the truly real and the holy. The lectionary reading is John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28.
Aslan is on the move. Aslan, the magical, light and life-bearing lion of C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan is on the move. On Friday afternoon, a group of 21 Epworthians was among the opening day crowd to see the new film version of the book. The book was published just 5 years after the demise of the Hitler regime in Germany. It was the first of 7 books of Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. It has reached generations of children and adults, 100 million copies, over 40 languages. As we walked out of the theater after seeing the film, conversations were lively and varied. One younger member of our group burst out saying, "I love Aslan." The book begins this way. Once there were 4 children whose names were Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. This story is about something that happened to them when they were sent away from London during the war because of the air raids. The children, along with hundreds and hundreds of others, were sent to safety. This family was sent to the safety of an old home, a large old house of an old professor in the country. And somehow, in the spare room of that house, they stepped out through the back of a Victorian wardrobe filled with coats and found themselves in a 100-year-old winter in a land called Narnia. It was very cold there. The ground, the trees, everything is covered in snow. It was always winter, but never Christmas, because of the light and life-denying spell of that interesting white witch. But when the children arrive, hope stirs in the air. All the talking animals and mythical creatures who live in Narnia whisper excitedly, "Aslan is on the move." Now, much has been written and very much has been preached about this story as a Christian allegory. The Hollywood industry is seeking to boost the bottom line by using the Christian evangelical industry, which in turn is using the media industry's skeptical attacks to get airtime to use the story for evangelism, thereby boosting Hollywood industry's bottom line. Peter Steinfels of the New York Times wrote facetiously of this conflict that the film almost got a PG-13 rating. "Parental guidance strongly advised, contains religious content and fleeting Christian imagery." An Oxford professor and medievalist, C.S. Lewis, explicitly said the story was not an allegory, but rather an imagining, a myth, a supposing. Allegory has only one meaning, but myth has many. In allegory, we only can put in what we know. Myth leads us, invites us into mystery beyond what we know. Adam Gopnik, in his article in The New Yorker, very critical of all this, admitted that the believer and the atheist can meet in the realm of made-up magic because, quote, "they both need to register their understanding that a narrow material world unlit by imagination is inadequate to our experience, much less to our hopes." Scholars have studied the works of C.S. Lewis and the magical realm of Narnia. One observation I particularly liked was that his stories were a way to baptize the imagination. They opened up new possibilities for myth, mystery, and the power of sacrifice. For Lewis, however, imagination not only lights up the narrow material world, imagination leads us to long for and to look for the truly real, to long for and look for the holy beneath, beyond, and within what we can see and know. He wrote in Narnia, "The witch's magic is to make things look like what they aren't. The witch knows magic, but there is a deeper magic." The powers and principalities of this world have magic to make things look like what they aren't. The powers and principalities of this world know magic, but there is a deeper magic. A local United Methodist layman, Alan Howe, wrote this poem for Advent. Strings of lights past the bus window, curled ribbons, red and green, fir and spruce clothed in shiny orbs, teddy bears and angels, wonderlands tacky and tasteful, shine from shop and home, and I am unmoved. I too ache for magic, have been seduced by fantasies Victorian and video. I say humbug to the trappings and wrappings, secretly hoping for a ghost of Christmas to be present, hoping for the deeper magic of a dark stable. I join the refrain of ages, crying for Emmanuel to come. Hoping for the deeper magic of a dark stable. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In this morning's gospel reading, John the Baptist came as a witness to the light. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, Scripture tells us, was coming into the world. Aslan is on the move. Mythical creatures, talking animals, terrorized by winter that never ends, catch a glimpse of new life stirring. Aslan, the lion, the real king of the land of Narnia, offers his life to save the life of a child, a very unworthy and ornery child. Sally Nasman and I were speaking yesterday about how we could identify most, actually, with Edmund. Edmund is taken in by the White Witch's tempting, flattering offer of sweets and power. And he betrays the others and places them all at risk. And then when it's uncovered and revealed, he kind of tries to ride it out without admitting it. Edmund ultimately confesses. He says, "I've seen what the White Witch can do, and I've helped her do it." Edmund, because of the law of the magic of Narnia, is to be executed. But Aslan offers himself in Edmund's place, and this act of self-sacrifice releases deeper magic. Death itself is reversed. Christian theology talks about the story of Jesus' sacrifice and death as atonement, something we don't talk about a lot in progressive Christianity. Christ dying for the sake of the world that God so loves. Jesus' teachings talk about it, saying, "There is no greater love than to lay down your life for another." Houston Smith, as he shared when we were in conversation with him recently, was prompted to write his new book, The Soul of Christianity, when he read Marcus Borg's book, The Heart of Christianity, because he was so ticked off reading that book that he felt he had to write a book on Christianity. And he's an expert in world religions, and this is the first book he's written specifically about Christianity. And what ticked him off about Marcus Borg's book was that in a book entitled The Heart of Christianity, there was not one word about the atonement. Not one word. He could not believe it. And so he wrote in his book, "The Root Meaning of Atonement, or At-One-Ment, the centerpiece of Christianity is reconciliation, the recovery of wholeness in God." God's incarnation in human form and suffering, even death in an execution, is not to appease the demands of vengeful law or vengeful God, not to repay a debt in some distorted cosmic economy. In Smith's words, it is God lighting the world with a question: is there anything more I could have done to demonstrate how much I love you? Just how radical is the power and possibility of that love, that light? Just how deep, how transforming is that magic? This word is so radical, it would be like a governor walking into San Quentin and offering to take the place of a condemned man. The word of the cross is not uttered in the past tense, Smith writes. Every time we abuse the poor, every time we pollute our God-given planet, indeed, every time we act selfishly for sweets, as Edmund did, God dies naked on the cross of our ego. Nevertheless, and this is the good news of the gospel, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. As we pray for one another this Advent season, let us pray that we are in touch with, that we recognize, that we adjust our eyes to that light, that we open our hearts and minds to that deeper magic. Let us imagine, hope, act. Let us whisper, Aslan is on the move.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to epworthberkley@gmail.com. That's epworthberkley@gmail.com. The website of Epworth United Methodist Church is www.epworthberkley.org. That's www.epworthberkley.org.